You don't have to be friends with someone to wave at them. We won't always agree on which way to go. But our differences can be our strength. So choose, but choose wisely. Choose what makes you happy. My friends, my family, my work make me happy. This Jeep makes me happy, even though my name is Vaughn.
National hero right there, Harrison Ford for Jeep from the Super Bowl yesterday. Truly one of my favorite spots, one that really stood out. A, because it was a surprise. I hadn't seen it teased anywhere. I hadn't read the script. I hadn't seen a preview on social. So kudos to Harrison Ford and Jeep for bringing that emotional appeal to the Super Bowl. As you look at the ads in the game yesterday, I think it was the ideal game. Tim Dwyer, co-owner of Manifesto Agency, joins us in studio, branding expert and much, much more. Tim, thanks for your time. I appreciate you being here.
Absolutely fun to be here.
Yesterday's game was, I think, the ideal football game to focus on the ads. Because the play, yes, while exciting, but the game was seemingly over right away. So it almost made you focus more on the time in between the play.
It's true. It was a bit of a slaughter, and some people didn't get their chance to go for three. So, but that's okay. But it did provide lots of opportunity to be able to catch those TV spots, which were abundant.
Yes. So I'd love your take on just if you had to pick. You did do a little rank and rock here. Give us your two favorite spots and why.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm going to agree with a lot of people that Dunk Kings 2 was one of the top favorite spots. And part of the reason was because of just the ensemble cast of characters, certainly a little bit of self-awareness, what people would say about just being able to be self-effacing in that, not taking things too seriously, but a really strategic approach on the part of Dunkin's, which was kind of big contrast to Starbucks, right?
Yeah.
Like the corporate juggernaut who's trying to actually make a play at the same time for getting customers back in store.
Did you see the Starbucks ad that aired right before the game? And what did you think of that strategy? It was really a hello again. That was the name of the ad. That was a way to reintroduce Starbucks on a big scale.
Yeah. I think in some ways it was in direct contrast, right? Yeah. I did see that Starbucks spot. They also played it at the end of the Super Bowl as well, to sort of, because today's a big, as you put the free thing out there, yes, today you can get a free cup of coffee at Starbucks on if you sign up on the app. But that was a very strategic way of also making a huge shift to come back to real in-person experiences, having lessened that through COVID and shifted their strategy. So that whole writing your name on the cup and invitation back to come talk to a barista is huge for them.
Yeah. Quickly, your thoughts on Dunkin kind of going after Starbucks within the ad. Is that a good strategy? Or, I mean, to me, I'm an equal opportunity coffee drinker. Like, I'll go to Dunkin, I'll go to McDonald's, I'll go to Starbucks. And so that to me is kind of like, do you have to do that? I appreciate the humor and the appeal within it. Does that work for brands?
It does. It does. That sort of challenger strategy, I think, works many, many times over. And people are, I would say it used to be that challenger strategies only worked when you're like a lesser brand in some way. But I think people consider these different brands, but they're in the same space. And I think nipping at the heels of your competitor often is a huge way to win. And we've seen that in I guess, mass scale now being used against some of the biggest brands in the world in the coffee sector. And, you know, more self-effacing, less pretentious is a nice juxtaposition between, you know, your triple, you know, Venti Macchiato at Starbucks,
That's right? Full disclosure, I did use my free Starbucks this morning. The app reminded me. I'm like, hey, it worked. Yeah. And that's something. When you give us your second spot, Tim, I want to talk about as well. Like, what struck me in a lot of the spots was just a lack of call to action. Like, there's engagement, there's humor, there's parody, there's nostalgia, but none of the spots really said, buy me now or do this now. So when we come back, I want to get your thoughts on that, and then we'll get your second most favorite spot. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. What's your recall? What was that spot?
Tim?
Oh, the Drink Another Job?
Yes.
That one? That's, I would put that one in the top one. Yeah. Like, broad appeal, liquid death.
Like, yes.
Letting people know it's safe. It's just water. You shouldn't be scared to drink on the job.
Indeed. Yeah, I thought that was fun. I thought it really, really worked. I'd say that was easily in my top five. I mean, for the most part, the Super Bowl spots mainly, I think, went for laughs and nostalgia. And they steered clear of controversy and maybe kind of left the surprises on the field. But what was your, Tim, your second most favorite ad? And then talk to us about, please, just the lack of call to action in ads. Like, is it just, is that the way you do Super Bowl ads? I was struck by that. Not hardly any of the ads, except for a local ad out of a Madison-based company that kind of called for us to download an app for a chance to win money. There wasn't a lot of, hey, do this now, buy this now.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I'll jump into that in a second. I think one of the top ads for me, and maybe different from other people, was actually one that catered toward business people. It was actually near the end of the Super Bowl, which was a GoDaddy spot, and totally focused. It ran with this insight. You can divide ideas into things that are fun, entertaining, and insightful. And this one, it really featured the concept of someone who was, you know, actors, you know, started the idea. Actors can tell you anything, but mm-hmm. It's hard. But the whole insight around that particular spot was about the fact that when you start a business, you don't really know much. And so having, you know, GoDaddy plus Aero in this thing makes you basically believe that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I love that insight.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing.
Right. They showed us a use case for the product while being funny and, you know, just relevant.
Totally. Act like you know what you're doing. It's an insight that you think business owners can leverage.
Exactly, right. When you're starting off an endeavor, everyone often says, you know, fake it till you make it. Well, that's what GoDaddy told us that we do, and they provide a solution to get there.
Exactly, which, you know, we've certainly used many others. The yes. second thing you mentioned was just about the call to action.
Yeah.
And I actually heard a video from Hormozy. I don't know if you know him as an online influencer, very popular, but he basically just says, we're going to see, and again, it's a different form when you talk about Instagram and Facebook and ads there, but just saying we're watching in some ways people departing from call to action because it's more about becoming a beacon that people want to follow up on. And I think the call to action is lessening more broadly. And I think it's okay. Once you know what someone's about, you're going to take the next step.
Yeah.
So I think call to actions are perhaps a little bit, you know, over the top and in your face. We might see them waning.
Yeah. Well, and if you're consulting with companies that aired Super Bowl ads, how do you suggest they continue to drive that engagement in the coming weeks?
Yeah. So someone like a Starbucks, again, offering this idea of, you know, they called for 200,000, you know, Sharpies, for instance, and just said we need to run those up for people's names so we can give them a free cup of coffee today. Social listening would be the number one thing, saying what's trending, even if it's controversial.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get into the conversation? So spend some time listening if you're a small business on what the conversation is so you can get in on it, whether it's for or against. And there were some controversial spots a little bit, as there always are. At the same time, like, leverage what's trending a bit. So capture that stuff. The other piece I'll put on there and just say where small businesses have a place to win is AI is hot in 2025, of course, and adjacently building your business through AI and all your tools, but so is human. And so we're going to see this divergence where the human touch, little aspects like that are going to grow immensely. And so I would say, be focusing on the humanity that only your company can provide compared to a digital counterpart.
When we come back, I want to get your thoughts on the two ads that didn't stick for you and then talk a little bit more about just that. Tim Dwyer from Manifesto. We'll talk about that emotional appeal ad and kind of, hey, does that matter in the Super Bowl, and which ads on an emotional level truly stood out? This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ.
Look, from the very beginning, football's been a conspiracy to make us hungry. Now let me tell you where it all started.
And we'll call this a pigskin. Make people crave bacon.
And everybody loves bacon.
I love bacon.
Bacon. Bacon.
Ever ask yourself how Buffalo got a team?
These wings deserve a team.
I figured out a good team name for Buffalo, Bill.
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
They do anything to sell food.
Do I have to be called refrigerator?
Welcome back to The Upswing.
Even Hayden was in on it.
Uber Eats, I think, just did a wonderful job in terms of how they positioned the brand, tied it back to the event, and really made it approachable for consumers. Your thoughts on that ad, Tim?
Totally agree. I mean, it was like, when you look at the simplest formula, they basically created an awesome opportunity just to show, hey, all of these things you can get in your cart, And I watched my kids just sort of like instantly light up at character after character after character, plus Old Spice, nailed it.
We're talking with Tim Dwyer from Manifesto Agency. Tim, when you look at the spots that didn't hit for you, what lessons can brands learn there? For me, the WeatherTech spot, I'm a fan of that product. I have it in my cars, and it kind of just made me a little sad. I didn't think they hit on the reason why you need WeatherTech in your car.
Yeah, that little Golden Girls Gone Wild, we'll call it, execution, I think, was interesting because I thought, are they trying to appeal to a different audience, potentially, that they haven't looked at before, or just something that was, you know, broadly appealing? But I agree, it didn't kind of hit on the core attributes and was a little bit light. I think it's not going to rank super well for that reason.
Yeah.
And it was a big spend for them, actually.
Yeah, for sure. What's another ad that you thought fell flat a little bit?
I personally thought the Stoke Coffee Channum Tatum story was just, I didn't love the execution on that one. I thought, you know, when you take sort of some of the cheap tricks and thrills there, it is doesn't always come to life. And you've only got 30 seconds, and you can see sometimes people have created long form ads that they've cut down, and they just don't make sense very well in 30 seconds.
Yeah,
and that was one. I think there are others that probably just didn't play out well.
Finally, as you look at what the NFL did in terms of positioning its brand within its biggest game, you know, obviously they do a great job of production and showcasing the Super Bowl. I thought the NFL spot, talking about flag football, dovetailed well with the Nike ad that really resonated. What were your thoughts on the NFL positioning itself to maybe a new audience?
Yeah. I liked the strategy. I enjoyed the strategy. It was, and the piece was entertaining as a whole, right? So the strategy to say, when you trace it back to its origin and say, what does it look like to elevate flag football? But I think this idea of like leave the past in the past, the way it was executed, it was a little bit of a trope that many of us have seen before, a little bit expected. It had lots of parts and pieces like that that truly felt like we did do a rewind. And we're like, is this really exactly the issue today that girls you know, don't play football? But I do think from where they took it to and where they want to go and what they're actually pushing for the cause, it accomplished that. So it's going to be controversial. I'm pretty sure it's already trending in that way.
Yeah.
But again, I give them kudos for the attempt.
Yeah. I mean, and they had some star power in it too. They had Pat McAfee, you had Marshawn Lynch, you had Justin Jefferson. And so they had some big names, but they're also appealing on, you know, on an emotional level and getting themselves into, you know, an issue maybe that is top of mind. And I think that can really work for brands.
Yeah. I think their ability to wade, they're also bulletproof in their ability to wade into an issue and say that they've got credibility to push for something, but they've also got, you know, there's also skin in the game that doesn't make it so unbiased. And we did look at there's a variety of brands pushing forward things like Hims and Hers. That was a big controversial one as well, where you're saying, hey, this is hard to have a public service announcement approach when you have so much to gain and benefit from. And so I think consumers do respond to that a little bit, saying kind of keep it clean with a PSA or something that really benefits you, but don't necessarily always mix the two.
Very good. Tim Dwyer from Manifesto. Tim, I appreciate your time and insights post Super Bowl with us here. Everyone's still talking about the ads, and ultimately that's what you want. Talkability. Absolutely. For the rest of the week and beyond. Speaking of, enjoy the rest of your week.